Here's what you'll learn in the next 30 minutes. How a whole life policy can be designed to build cash value from the first month. At the end, we're going to reveal to you the most important decision that you'll make when beginning your IBC journey. So stay tuned.
We're going to break down base premium versus PUA premium, explain why properly and optimally funding a policy is important, and explain the difference between a traditional design and an infinite banking concepts design policy. The difference will blow your mind.
And here's what you'll miss if you just skip this episode. You'll keep funding policies in a suboptimal way, and you'll wait years to access meaningful cash value when you could have had it in the first month.
This is technical, but it's a critical topic if you truly want to understand how your policy works. Because while your behavior matters the most, proper policy design matters too. Now let's get into it.
Yeah, this is important. Okay, so let's talk dividend rates. A lot of the companies, some don't, but most of them will advertise their dividend rates. Usually it happens toward the end of the year, like in November of every year, and the dividend rates will come out. And people think, or maybe you think, listener, that, oh, their dividend rate was 6.5%, and you know, that's what my policy gets, and that's just better than this company who paid a 5.85% dividend, right? Well, I'm here to tell you that that is just a gross dividend rate. Yes, you want to, you know, if it were trending up, of course that's good. But you don't know the math that went behind it. You truly don't know that company's, death claim experience, financial experience that particular year, how their portfolio did, unless they're telling you and openly, sending you information on that. So while the dividend rate is important, and there's at least one company that doesn't even declare their dividend. They don't even tell you what it is. It's paid, but none of the policy holders know, right? It's less important because you're not controlling it. And I think it's possible we compare companies, right? Dave and I write business for several different mutual life insurance companies in the United States, a bunch of them, five or six of them. And you look at the policy illustrations and you print them side by side and you're like, wow, the one with the smaller dividend rate, the policy actually looks better. So how does that happen if the dividend is high? So there's a lot more going on than just the number. Here, the dividend is 6%. There's more to it than that. So I'll be honest with you, I don't even pay attention. It's like, oh yeah, the dividend rate stayed the same or it went up. Great. I don't really pay attention to it much at all, both as a policy holder and as an agent. So that's my two cents, Dave. I don't know if you care more on it, but
I just care that they're paying a dividend and that they do every year.
That's right.
Okay, well, let's kind of put it all together. You know, we've talked about premiums, base premium, PUA, talked about the MEC line, talked about dividends and the different options there. But how do we actually design your policy? Well, there's no one size fits all. We never just take a cookie cutter approach. It's not somebody comes and says, I want a policy, and we say, okay, here's a policy for you. No, there's a lot that goes into it. You know, what's your age? How much income do you have? What are your expenses? You know, what's your cash flow situation? Where else are you putting money? What different buckets or pools of capital do you have? Could they be reallocated? Could we just transfer money from over there over to here? There's so many different things. You know, what's your health? What's your goals? Your objectives? What do you even want to do this for? So there's so much that goes into that. So really where we start, you know, in typical life insurance, the space, it's how much death benefit do you need? We do a needs-based analysis, right? Oh, Paul, you're 45 years old. You got 20 years left of working. You make $100,000 a year. So that's 20 years times $100,000. You need $2 million of life insurance. Sign here. And whatever the cost is that, you know, hey, at your age, your health, $2 million is going to cost you this much. Is that okay with you? It's cool with me. Sign, done. Right? That's the typical approach. Well, we start on a different spectrum. We say, what's the premium capacity that you have? How much do you want to fund and capitalize your system with? And what can you sustain? what's manageable, what's meaningful. We have a whole episode, episode 93, on our philosophy on how much premium should I pay. It's got to be manageable, but it's got to be meaningful. So that's where we start. And then that kicks out a death benefit. If we need more death benefit than that, we supplement with some term on top of it that you can convert later on. So that's the starting point. You know, what's next in this, you know, how we decide how to design the policy.
The next thing is company selection, right? I have my personal favorite. Dave has his personal favorite. Other agents you may speak with or meet or know have their favorite. And it's typically like how you were brought in, right? Like my personally owned policies are with one specific company, and that I own four more policies with two other companies. You know, the kids' policies that I showed you earlier in the episode, and then a couple other mutual dividend paying whole life policies that I have. But the bulk of my holdings are with one company because it's my opinion that that is the best company through which to practice the infinite banking concept with. Yeah. And opinions vary, but I, you know, let's face it, I'm right.
You're wrong.
Not wrong. So anyway, but, you know, the generic criteria, you know, it's a mutual company. It's over 100 years old. It's got a 100-year or more dividend paying track record without missing a year. You know, why, you know, there were some companies you want to look at financial strength. That's another thing that we look at. I track that very closely. And you can, this is all publicly available information. You can look up what's called a Comdex score. You can look up their AM best ratings and Moody's, you know, Moody's ratings and all that. It's all public information. So you can look all that. But we want a good company with a solid financial foundation. So yeah, that's it. I think anything else to add for company selection?
Yeah, I would just say part of that is a company that doesn't take unnecessary risks. Or big risks. So what that means, how does that translate? It means a company that actually does thorough underwriting. If they're going to approve anybody and everybody for $5 million of life insurance, is that a company I want to be an owner of? I'm not so sure. If it's a company that has a very thorough underwriting process and they classify risks correctly and conservatively, is that a company I want to be an owner of? Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
because that's how I would operate a company. If I was the one operating it, I just happen to be an owner of it. So I want to, you know, own one that operates like that.
Right. So when you work with us, you're going to get what we also own. And I think that's a good way to do this business is to, you know, kind of practice what you preach. I'm not buying some other company and selling this company's products because they pay me more or something. We don't do that. So,
yeah.
No, it's a good point, Dave. Financial. Risk, the risk portfolio is important.
Yeah. You know, then the next step, we want to capture your human life value. So everybody's got a human life value. You have a monetary value, like your future production. What's that number? Well, let's capture that because that's what they'll approve you for. Now, you may not be able to capture all of it in whole life insurance because you don't have the premium capacity to do so at this time. That's going to take years, you know, gradually building up to that. But what you can do is capture the remainder of that human life value in a convertible term policy. So it's term insurance, right? It's cheap, as they say. And it doesn't cost much, but it fully covers you. Now you're fully insured instead of being underinsured. And then you can convert that in the future as you expand your system, getting the next policy and the next and the next. So expanding that responsibly over time is really the ultimate goal.
Yeah, no, it's a great, and Dave and I use it in our own lives. It's a bridge. So as our whole life portfolio grows and that death benefit gets bigger and bigger every year, we use that convertible term to kind of offset the risk. And then it's easy conversion into whole life. So,
yep.
It's a great strategy that that Dave really came up with, I think, for us, you know, implementing that. And we both did it ourselves. So it's phenomenal.
Well, we practice what we preach. And that's part of the absolute most important step you can take when beginning your infinite banking journey. And that most important step you can possibly take is choosing the right advisor. So what happens? I mean, why is that so important, Paul, to choose the right advisor for this concept?
Well, first of all, you want to make sure you're working with somebody that's experienced, well-versed in the infinite banking concept. Can your agent, if it's going to be infinite banking concept, they should be able to quote Nelson Nash from the book without picking up the book.
What book?
Becoming Your Own Banker, 5th edition. It's right there. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm pointing to it on my little shelf.
Yep.
I'm not even sure what that thing is called. Pop it up. So they're well-versed in that. They practice what they preach, as Dave said earlier. And I always tell prospective clients this. It's like, listen, when I'm your advisor, I'm going to put myself in your position and then design the policy how I would want it designed for me. And I think that's the best thing you could, hope for is that,
yeah.
And we know what we're doing, right? We know how to design policies. We have structured them, a bunch of different ways. And chances are we can look at your situation and in a few seconds, I can already see the policy design. I already can kind of know what to do. You want someone that aligns with your thinking. We appeal to a certain, people. That all kinds too, which is interesting. You want someone you can get along with, and that's important too, and have build a really good client advisor relationship with over time.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, that person's going to be with you, or they should be with you for really the course of your life. Whether that's, me or Paul being your guide, walking you through 5 years from now, you have a big financial event to discuss or a big emergency and you want to, or you want to expand your system, you have a windfall, something, we're still here. And if it's not us, it's somebody on our team that's been trained up to take those questions. So making sure you're working with somebody who's been in the business for a while, expects to be in the business for a while and be there when you have questions. So you can always contact them, get them on the phone, get them on email, whatever it may be.
That's a great point. There's a lot of people that exit the business abruptly.
Very quickly. Yeah. There's a lot of people that haven't made it 5 years. So maybe that's one of those questions is
how long have you been doing this?
How long have you been doing this? And if you just got in the business, it could be a little riskier, but you could probably feel it out and say, is this person legit? Do they know what they're talking about? If they do, I think you're going to be fine. If they're an IBC practitioner, I think you're going to be okay. All right. Well, let's wrap this up with some common design mistakes to avoid when starting your first infinite banking concepts policy. So the biggest one we always hear, one, you can't rewind time. The first one is, I wish I would have heard about it 20 years ago. Sorry, you can't. Not going to happen. And if you did, you probably would have said no at that time because you weren't thinking, it took you 20 years maybe to get to this point of thinking this way. But the second biggest one that people mention is they started too small. So I would say adding too little or too much PUA rider would be one of the biggest mistakes, because too little, probably means your base is really small too. If it's too much in relation to your base, then you're really kind of stunting the long-term growth of that policy. And I think you're going to regret that. So having too much or too little of anything could be the wrong move. You want the optimal blend.
Yep. Long duration is what we're after here. Second thing, designing around the death benefit. That is typically how life insurance is sold. It's, how much death benefit do you want or do you need or whatever? And in the infinite banking concept world, we're designing it around the premium. You can't control how much death benefit's going to be spit out. We're going to take what premium dollars you have available. We're going to design a policy for your needs around that premium. Let's say it's $25,000 a year. And that is at your attained age and health rating, that is going to spit out an initial face amount of death benefit. And that's what we're going to start with. And then from there, as Dave said earlier, we can add certain things to boost, to kind of bridge that gap for your human life value. But thinking not how much is this going to cost me is I want to capitalize a policy. That's the biggest thing is we're capitalizing a policy. We're taking money we already have. It doesn't cost you anything. You're just putting it in a different place. So you shouldn't think of it in terms of how much is this policy going to cost me? That's the wrong question.
Again, go back to episode 93. That'll help. You know, one of the other common mistakes to avoid is choosing the wrong company. So what some people do is they learn about this concept and they call up the first life insurance company that they have in mind, or some, you know, they have a policy with the company. They call them up and say, I want to do a policy like this. Can you do that for me? I mean, they're going to, you know what they're going to do. They're going to send you to one of their youngest agents, brand new, and he's going to say, absolutely, I can do this for you, and have no idea what he's doing. So you don't start this by calling a company. You start this by calling the right person to begin with.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be the company that, you know, pops up on Google. Yeah. No, that's right. Yeah, it's important to understand that the infinite banking concept is not a product. It's a process. The product is whole life insurance, participating whole life insurance. The process is IBC. Right. Yeah, if you call up and ask for an IBC policy, they're not going to know what that is. On the company selection front, though, I want to add this. Some companies' offerings for policies are more optimal for practicing IBC than others.
Right.
It's important to know which ones those are. And of course, you're not going to know. And the, you know, junior guy you might get on the phone, he ain't going to know either, because he's a captive agent. He doesn't know. He's just going to write what he has. Right. So again, that's where the experience comes in. Next thing. Some people are afraid to capitalize, and I've told several of my clients this, and their friends, and they listen, so I'm going to say it. I'm not going to mention their names, but they doubled their premium within a year. They opened up a policy. I'm like, that's too small. They're like, yeah, I just want to feel it out, whatever, you know, dip my toe in. I hate that. Like, and then they're like, yeah, you were right. Oh, they're on the phone 6 months later getting another policy that matched the first one.
Which is fine, but
it's fine.
It could have been more efficient had they just gone bigger earlier. Like, they lost 1 year of growth.
Lost opportunity because health had changed in between then.
Yeah, right.
Literally, these are two. I'm thinking of two examples, both males, both Army guys. It's fine, but it's just told you so.
Yep. Paul might know what he's talking about. All right. You know, one of the other mistakes that you wouldn't have any idea you're making if you just called up a random agent, said you wanted a policy, is that agent may be ignoring the mech line and maybe completely, you know, oh, this is going to mech in 13 years. I don't care. That's way in the future. Deal with it then. No, you need to design these so you avoid that mech. Because if you cross that line, there's no going back. Once it becomes a mech, you cannot reverse it and make it a non-mech. It will forever be a mech, and it'll be treated like a qualified retirement account where you get penalized for pulling money out before you're 59 and a half. You pay taxes on it, you know, all this stuff that you don't want. So avoid the mech.
The last thing is choosing the wrong advisor for the purposes of getting into the infinite banking concept. You want to work with somebody that knows what they're doing, has been doing it a while, has built a good book of business, maybe has some clientele that you can call upon and get a referral. It's kind of like when you go buy a new car, right? Like, you're doing some research. You should be. Like the GM 6.2 L87 V8, right? That thing's been eating main bearings. I'm not going to go buy that truck right now. I never would, right? But my neighbor did. And I was like, hopefully it doesn't have any problems, but there's 750,000 recalls on that engine. So anyway, you gotta know what you're, you know, they gotta know what they're doing. You do your research.
100%.
Yeah, you couldn't do it. Policy design is specific to you. Most people get sold a policy, right? It's very generic. Our clients get a custom engineered financial tool for the proper mix of cash value and death benefit, tailored to their situation and their goals. This is why choosing the right person to work with is the most important step.
All right, let's recap what we covered. Like, whole life insurance isn't just buy a policy, hope for the best. It's engineering. So maybe I'll put it into an analogy Paul can understand. You got the base premium. That's your necessary chassis, right? Then you got your paid up additions. That's the high performance engine. You got that mech line, which is the legal speed limit. You've got the dividends, purchasing more PUAs, which is like the turbocharger that creates the exponential growth.
Traditionally, most life insurance agents design your policy based on what's called a needs analysis. What is that? They take a look at your mortgage and your liabilities, your assets, and they kind of figure out using this formula, like, this is how much death benefit dad needs. This is if mom works, even if she doesn't work, this is how much death benefit mom needs. And I'll forget about the kids. Well, maybe they include the kids. Who knows? That's fine if you just want life insurance. But if you want a banking system, something that you can finance the things of life with and practice the infinite banking concept, you need a completely different philosophy and a mindset to implement it.
And here's the truth. A properly designed and optimally funded infinite banking concept style whole life insurance policy will have multiple times more cash value than a traditional policy. And it will become available as soon as you start paying those premiums. That way you can start thinking and acting like a banker today and not 5 years down the road when you've built enough cash value.
So you may already own a whole life insurance policy. Maybe you have several and you've had it for any number of years. And chances are, if you've owned it longer than 3 years, you've got some cash value built up. But what is also likely true is that it wasn't built for the infinite banking concept, but your next one should be.
And if you don't have a policy yet, don't just call up an insurance company and ask them for an IBC-style policy. The first step you need to take is choosing the right agent to work with. So check out our website, thewealthwarehousepodcast.com. Schedule time to talk. All right, come back next week and we'll talk about the policy loan playbook, how to borrow, how to repay, and how to redeploy your capital like a bank. Paul and I will show you how we take loans, we structure our repayments, and we use the same dollars in our system over and over and over. Policy designs get you the vehicle. Policy loans are how you drive it. So if you liked what you heard, the next step is to go to thewealthwarehousepodcast.com, watch the video, order the book, and schedule some time with either me or Paul.
And share this episode with anyone you know who owns whole life insurance but doesn't know how to use it. Remember this, while whole life insurance policy design matters, you are ultimately the most important actor in the play.
And until next time, control your capital.
Or somebody else will.